Namaste. So we were speaking about special descents which took place on the Darshan days. So they were days when a special force came down to help humanity take leaps and bounds. But post 1956, 29th February 1956, the mother said very clearly, now the descents take place unexpectedly. They're not taking place necessarily only on the Darshan days. So the whole idea of Darshan days has changed. So mother was asked that, why do you still give messages? Mother says that these messages are meant for transmitting the truths that have been tested, realized completely for humanity. So the earlier significance of Darshan Day was special descents. Why? Because supermind was not accessible at all. So there were days when they would bring it down and in the body there would be a descent. So it was literally the divine actually assuming the human body in all his splendor and fullness. Not just assuming the human body just like in Avatar, but in all his splendor and fullness. But obviously the body is not ready for that. So it used to be for a period of time and then it would go back. On those special days it would come. But then subsequent, so darshan was not just a formality that you go and do pranam, and that Shobindra and the mother didn't believe in that kind of thing. It was to bring in those forces into play. But after 56, when the new consciousness, the supramental force is there upon earth, established, the purpose of message is to send out certain truths which have been tested time and again and established beyond any even a little iota of doubt. Of course, doubt in the sense that which have been completely proven, the mother has used that word, in all human beings for times to come. So this is how messages used to be given. This is one of those messages which we can read. Today's message. If we learn to live within, it starts with an if, of course, there is dot, dot, dot. So it's a letter. It's a portion of some letter. And just take this. If we learn to live within, so first thing is that our life is ordinarily on the surface. So if we have to live within, we have to try something. We have to practice. There is an effort involved. That's why there is a learn. It is not what is our natural way. Naturally, we are drawn by the all kinds of sensory inputs. Just as we had that little demonstration, knock, knock. Shobindra explains this in Savitri, that the sensory mind is something which reacts at every knock. The postman comes and knocks and it rushes. You can observe it in any kind of a group setting. Individually, it's a little more difficult to observe. But have you seen that even when something very beautiful, let's say a Savitri reading is going on or something, somebody comes or somebody sneezes or somebody coughs, everybody starts looking at that person. And then, you know, sometimes people keep gazing as if he has committed a crime. It's okay. These are opportunities to practice such intense concentration. So we lose that opportunity. So one has to make an effort to live within. Live within means do not get drawn by anything on the surface. Draw the senses inside. There is a very beautiful practice that Sri Krishna teaches in the Gita. And of course it's there even in Raj Yoga, Patanjali Yoga Sutra. Pratyahar. Draw the senses inside like the turtle draws his limbs inside. And there is a shell. So how do we practice? Actually, all of us unconsciously do it. For example, when we are involved in a thought process, very deep, intense thought process. And then we see that when we are involved in our ordinary thought process, even in our thought process, little deeper thought process, then we are suddenly oblivious of all that goes on inside. Why? Because we are concentrated on something else which draws our consciousness above. But things which are sensory objects, if our mind is involved in that, then there is a tendency to be easily drawn on the surface. So we have to learn to live inside, live within. And I'll read from the beginning of the passage. In our ordinary life, this is not there in the message because message is started with three dots. But better to read Sri Aurobindo in full. So it's one of the letters. In our ordinary life, this truth, the divine truth, is hidden from us or only dimly glimpsed at times or imperfectly held and conceived. So there is this greater truth which is not affected by the contacts of the world, which with which we can face all the circumstances and situations of life without really getting affected. This is a different zone altogether. There is a very interesting description in Savitri that when you come in contact with the soul, a gulf of stillness swallows up the sense. So during that phase, it is like nothing really affects you. But when you come back to the surface, again the problem starts. So he teaches us this practice. But if we learn to live within, we infallibly awaken to this presence within us, which is our more real self. So if we learn to live within, we look at the word infallibly, definitely, without fail, we will awaken to this presence within, provided we take this practice, which is our more real self. Right now we think this is my real self, but the real self is hidden inside. A presence profound, he is even describing what that presence is like. There is a feeling of some profound truth, some profound self, something very deep and profound. There is the, let me give an example. It's like when you are walking on a, you know, mountain trail. There is a temple there, located there, and you are walking through the trail and you are looking here and there and everything. Suddenly you enter this kind of cave temple and you are face to face with the deity. It is something you had never imagined while you are undertaking the journey. And it's like for a moment everything you forget, everything drops away. I remember this experience in one of the places, very obscure places, Somnathpura. It's near Mysore actually. So I was in Mysore and, you know, just going casually, accidentally saw obscure temple, no pujari, nothing, some old ruinous temple, completely half destroyed. So just went inside, nobody to tell us anything, no guide, nothing, total forest. And the moment we went, we saw the vigraha of Lord Krishna in a black granite kind of. It was mesmerizing. So it was like, ye kya hua? Till date I remember that experience as so enchanting. You're just not expecting anything of this kind. And suddenly he appears. It's like a presence profound. And this is, of course, I'm giving a material example. So some similar, suddenly all the things with which we were worried, all the agitations, all the troubles, all the fears, they just vanish. It's like you are in another zone altogether. A presence profound, calm. Its characteristic is calm. We enter into a state of calm. We may be very disturbed while on the surface. Situations have not changed. Nothing has changed outwardly. But inwardly you have entered a zone where there is complete calm and a sense of profundity. So we are as if divided between two zones. Joyous. And there is also inner joy. Even when there is death dancing at your doorstep, there is a state of inner joy. It's something one can experience. During the time of Corona, I have heard some very interesting instances. One of them, I think I shared, of one of the doctors who actually was going from Corona ward to ward, and suddenly when she fell sick, and how she felt ki, okay, this body I give it to the divine mother, and Shurbindu. She's a devotee. And then suddenly everything changes. There is calm. There is even a state of joy. And a whole visions follow. And eventually state of surrender, faith, and everything vanishes. So there is a state in which one can enter, where there is complete certitude, faith. It's not something mind say. You know, one is trying, oh, I must have faith. I am supposed to have faith. It's not that state. There is spontaneous, luminous faith. And pusa. So it is not just a presence which says, okay, come, I take you within myself. It's pusa. It's powerful. August. That story of Markandeya going to Mahakal and saying, before you even death can wait. So it's pusa, it's powerful presence. Nothing can stand before it. A presence profound, calm, joyous and pusa of which the world is not the master. How beautiful it is. Right now, the world is the master. It is the world which overpowers us. But in that state, the world is no more the master. Because the master of the world is there. A presence which, if it is not the Lord himself, is the radiation of the Lord within. So Shubhendu says, Lord is still deeper. When one has the vision of the Lord, then nothing stays. Everything just drops off. All bandhan drop off. But before we reach the Lord, one passes through a zone and one can know the difference by the atmosphere that one is encountering. It's an atmosphere of peace, calm, joy, the sense of a power, the sense of a greatness. So this is the zone in which one has entered. It's like when you go to the Rashtrapati Bhavan, again a very poor analogy. Huh? So you have to meet the president. So you are going through all the... I have not met ever, huh? Don't mistake. But from... Nowadays you don't have to meet. You can have the same experience in virtual. But you are going through all these different zones. You are going through the busy street. Then finally you are at that gate. Guards, all that formality is over. Then you enter a different space altogether. It's like there is no disturbance outside. You are in different zone altogether. Now you are no more here and there. You are there. And you are appreciating the guard and everything. Then you are led to a huge house, palace. And then you enter and then you meet the president. So that's how it is that before we actually meet the Lord, we go through a zone in which there is the radiance and energy of the Lord. We are aware of it within, supporting and helping the apparent and superficial self. So, this is all not in the message, but I am not cutting the letter. So, just continuing with it. So, what is the sign of this presence? What happens when we go there? We are aware of it within, supporting and helping the apparent and superficial self. Superficial self and apparent self is this what we call as myself. Oh, then there is a smile. When we are identified with this, is the Dvasuparna experience. That there is this self, which is the surface self, which rejoices and goes down the dumps, despairs and is happy. But there is the deeper self, which smiles at this joker. Says, oh, so you are again going through all this. So this is the self within and smiling at its pleasures and pains as at the error and passion of a little child. You see, when we are identified with it, then we are completely carried away by those pleasures and pains. Now here, even while the surface self is being carried away, this deeper self smiles. Grow up, man, grow up. Be a man, don't be like this. There is another self which is beginning to see. So this division takes place very early in the process of yoga. Shubhendu says it's one of the cardinal signs that you are progressing, this division. Wherein there is the outer self and there is the deeper inner self. And if we can go back into ourselves and identify ourselves, not with our superficial experience, but with that radiant penumbra of the divine. Penumbra is that, like a halo around any shining object, luminous object. So penumbra of the divine, we can live in that attitude towards the contacts of the world. So then next time when we have contact with the world and something pains us, we say, oh, still little bit possibility is left of being pained. And you again smile back at life, at oneself. And that is how we constantly grow. Standing back in our entire consciousness from the pleasures and pains of the body. How wonderful it would be. But it's not only pains. People who want, I don't want any pain. As long as you want pleasure, you'll have pain. This is the law. Shubhendu says that that is the law of duality. You want one thing, the other is bound to come. You want to be only a virtuous man, vice will come. It is invariable. You have to learn to stand back from the entire play. That's what he is revealing to us. So pleasures and pains of the body, vital being and mind, possess them as experiences whose nature, being superficial, does not touch or impose itself on our core and real being. Then what do you see? You see these experiences come, these things come, they are on the surface, they touch and go away. And while the world may see the outer contact and the outer thing, outwardly you may even respond, seem to respond in a certain way, inside you are free. It's a state of yoga which is so wonderful, and it's liberating. In the entirely expressive Sanskrit terms, there is an anandamaya behind the manomaya, a vast bliss self behind the limited mental self. So right now, the organization is the mind and the senses. So this mind and the senses have woven an understanding of the world. And that understanding is the understanding of ego-based duality. It is good, this is bad. I think the other day we were discussing with someone. So often we say that, you know, what is Shubh and Ashubh? So first of all, we don't know what really we can call as Shubh. Often people say that when, you know, rebirth, somebody is born in very difficult circumstances, it is bad. So Shubhendu says, first I must be convinced that if I am born in difficult circumstances and poverty, it is bad for me. Logically, how do we know? Very often being born a rich person is far more problematical. Because firstly, you will never have a free life. You can't just say, I am running and going to have Golgappas on the road. You will miss out on many interesting experiences of life. You will not face much challenges. And you will have a life wherein neither the body, the mind, nothing is met with the challenge which helps us to grow. So actually from an evolutionary point of view, it is not a good thing if I am born in a rich family. Of course, universal rules cannot apply. But by and large, it is true. By and large, it is true that it is much easier to make a camel pass through the eye of a needle than to make a rich man turn to God. Outwardly, very different evaluation. Oh, my son is, you know, he's got a good job in upstate America and he's earning very well. You don't know whether it is really good or bad. It may not be good at all. It may be almost like shutting a door on a deeper possibility which may have opened. You know what is said about India? This reminds me. Looked at from the surface. You know, like BBC documentaries. Bhuke Nange Log and you know all that. They will show. But what the scriptures say? Scriptures say that after 1,000 lives, when you have accumulated a lot of punyas, then you get a chance to be in India. Now you understand why Indian population is so much? So many candidates aspiring. But they all know, only if we are born in India, we will become natural citizen. Otherwise, if you are born in America, you will grow up with so much luxury, pleasure. You will, even if you are attracted, you will find it very difficult to become an Indian citizen because you are now used already. You are so used to that kind of life, very way of life. That's why when people go and start living, it's very difficult for them to come back. They know that in what India carries, but it's very difficult to leave it. So that's why one reason for population explosion, don't take me seriously, is that for thousands of years, souls have been aspiring. एक तो जन्म दे दो इंडिया में. सो बट आउटवर्डली देर आर पीपल हु क्रिप, दे कंप्लेंट, सी सो नाइस, बट देर इफ यू सी फ्रॉम द इनर पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू, सर्टेन थिंग्स वी ड्रिंक विद मदर्स मिल्क, सरेंडर, फेथ, वी डोंट हैव टू बी टॉट ऑल दिस. So this is a bliss self, but the mental self will have different value system. But this is the Anandmay, a vast bliss self behind the limited mental self, and the latter is only a shadowy image and disturbed reflection of the former. So when we enter this bliss self, by the very fact we have touched it, we are in a state of joy. Doesn't matter what is happening outside. It's very amazing that if you change the consciousness, everything changes. Even the fear of death, everything. It's just a question of changing the consciousness. Mother would say, shift the needle. And we can shift the needle up, shift the needle inside. But it has to be practiced. So every day we should practice shifting the needle inside and upward. And if we do that, then this becomes very easy. And then this final part, which is there in the message also. The truth of ourselves lies within and not on the surface. Our real truth is inside. This not on the surface. If you remain in the surface, we'll always remain tied to the surface. One very important thing which we can read before we close. Again, this triple vibration of pleasure, pain, indifference, being superficial, being an arrangement and result of our imperfect evolution, can have in it no absoluteness, no necessity. This is easy to understand. There are people who love sleeping on the floor. Why? Because they are habituated to it. They like it. You put them on a Dunlop bed and they will curse you like anything. Whereas equally, there are people for whom why sleeping on floor even with a little mattress is so difficult. So this idea that this or this is absolute truth is not true. It is simply a habit. Everything is a habitual response. Certain people we see and we feel a vibration of, you know, we want to stay away. But there are other people who will find them very nice affinities. After all, a drunkard loves to be with drunkards. He eagerly waits. When will a drunkard come and we will both sit together and have a drink? But a person who is spending life in a different way will find this repulsive. There are people who are very abusive by nature and they are very comfortable when they are in company of somebody who is abusive. It's a real, I'm saying, incidents which I have seen. And suddenly you put these people in the company of someone who is very cultured and speaking a good, shuddh Hindi. So they say, achha, theek hai, achha, namaste, hum chalte hain. Because, you know, they can't stand a cultured state of being. So, pain, pleasure, indifference are a question of habit. We have learnt as we evolve, different things give us pleasure. There are people who love very loud music because that's their state of consciousness which they enjoy. But there are others who want to put it on the softest possible note. There are some people who love hard metal. Why? Because you cannot feel music unless there is a lot of jing bang going on. Whereas there are others who with Sunil Das music, soft, gentle, floating in the air, feel so beautiful. Or of course, the ragas. Somebody else will say, kya tutu ho raha hai itna der tak? I have actually heard this. When I would play sometime the classical music, no? In the... So, old time, parents, nice people. But they would tell me, ki टू लगा दिया है तूने, कुछ और लगा दे, भजन लगा दे कुछ. तो भजन कौन सा होता था? द भजन्स वुड बी, यू नो, ऑल दोज विच ऑन बॉलीवुड फिल्म सॉन्ग्स, द भजन्स. आइडिया भजन्स वॉज दिस, द ट्यून शुड बी कैची लाइक ए बॉलीवुड सॉन्ग, देन यू कॉल इट भजन. बट इफ भजन ऑल्सो इज लाइक ऑफ ए वेरी हाई क्लासिकल काइंड, देन इट्स नो मोर भजन, इट्स टू टू, यू अंडरस्टैंड, लाइक दैट, यू नो, सितार या आलाप. सो इट्स वेल मीनिंग, इट्स इज नथिंग बट हैबिट. सो आई वुड टेल देम, यू लिसन टू इट, यू विल गेट यूज टू इट, यू विल स्टार्ट लाइकिंग इट. 5 years down the line, they started enjoying it. So you see, none of the responses that we give are actually mandatory or absolute. So here he gives us that secret. There is no real obligation on us to return to a particular contact, a particular response of pleasure, pain, or neutral reaction. There is only an obligation of habit. We feel pleasure or pain in a particular contact because that is the habit of our nature, that is the habit our nature has formed, because that is the constant relation the recipient has established with the contact. So you will be surprised, the other day I was seeing 10 most paid jobs in the world. So, you know, which is the most paid job in the world? For doing very little, you are getting maximum money. Cleaning a hippo's teeth. Ever seen a hippo with his... Hippo is a mighty creature, huh? And it can be very ferocious if it wants to. So, it opens the mouth and the man is brushing the teeth. But look at the danger. No, this is nothing. The other was where there is a person who has to go inside and pick up the cobras for a show. And it's amazing that this person goes inside, of course, whatever suit he may be wearing, but he's picking up cobras like this and putting them on the side, and it's as if he is picking up some, and some cobras, 5-6 are sitting with their, you know, all hood erect right by his side. This fellow looks at it, gives a little smack on the head and does it. Now, you know, it's a... But normally, the habitual response is fear, shrinking. Even when you know there is no poison teeth. I remember at one place, there was a man who used to demonstrate this. And he would say, you take it, it doesn't bite, it's a non-poisonous snake. But for us, the idea is, poisonous or non-poisonous, I know, snake doesn't know. You know, that kind of slithery feeling when you put it around. So this is, even on a cinema, there are people who cannot tolerate an image, but this is nothing but a habitual reaction we have formed. There are others who can change it completely. So everything is mere habit. It is within our competence, look at what he's saying, to return quite the opposite response. Pleasure, where we used to have pain, Shobindu took it to an extent of even physical pain, changing it into ananda. Pain, where we used to have pleasure. The same company, old friends where people sat and chalo, ghazal sunte hain, with all this. Suddenly you find it, you know, sometimes it happens, you know, old time friends come, they feel batchmate and all that. But you just can't be with them anymore because you have changed inside. And the response becomes very different. That is one of the signs that we are changing. So that happens as we grow master of nature. And he speaks of everything, pain, pleasure of the body, not just of the mind, thereby giving us a clue how to get rid of suffering. And this letter ends with a very powerful, beautiful line. We'll just read it. This is the play of the One, the Lord, the All, as it reveals itself to a liberated and enlightened knowledge from the conceptive standpoint of this material universe. So at the end, where you can reach a point where you discover that this is actually a play of the Lord. If you are caught in the mesh of ignorance, imprisoned, then it is no more a play. It looks like a cruel joke. But when you get into this side, that's a play where everything is a delight. You see, it's like suddenly you are thrown into a battlefield. Today we are watching that, we can end with that, Vikram Batra's life. So when you are suddenly caught in a melee where people are fighting and clashing, you'll say, which cruel God has put me here? He must be terribly cruel to put me here. But when you see the life of this hero, who at a young age sacrificed his life, his motto was, Ye dil mangi more. I want more of this battle. I want more challenges in life. I'm not satisfied with only this much. So this is the whole idea of yoga, is that Today we live in a limited consciousness. Therefore, we understand the world in a certain way. We react in a certain way. Through a change of consciousness, our entire understanding and action is bound to change. So, the way of yoga is not a method or practice for its own sake, but a real change which takes place within. If it can take place through a method of practice, fine. But the important thing is not the method and the practice for its own sake, but the change within. The easiest way of change of consciousness is, of course, with which we can stop, is that bring the limited consciousness in contact with the consciousness which is the ultimate. That's what yoga is about. That's why he's speaking of the Lord within. When you bring the two in contact, the more powerful will change the lesser one. And the fastest way to do it is through bhakti, through devotion, through faith and surrender. So when we come in contact with the divine consciousness, we undergo a change. Outer methods are very superficial. I'll do so many hours of pranayama and meditation. It may help you, may not help you. But when, by whatever means, we come in contact with the divine consciousness within, then automatically everything changes. So we'll stop here with this. Namaste.